The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And what a day it is, and we'll show you a little bit more about that in a minute as we begin our Friday coverage of the college football season 2022, and there's a lot happening. Not only have we seen football last night, we'll see it tonight and tomorrow, but there's also some news breaking on the CFP, and we will have all of that for you in just a moment. So we say hello to you. They have great fans in Arkansas, and I think that's pretty evident. We are in the middle of a monsoon. It may be monsoon Razorback for the Cincinnati Bearcats tomorrow, but right now we begin our weekend here as the rain is coming down heavily, and there's also some news breaking from the CFP, and it looks like the college football presidents have unanimously agreed to expand the playoff to 12 teams. Exactly when will that be remains to be seen, but there's still some conversation about that, and we'll have more on that in just a moment. We are here throughout for the afternoon, and we appreciate all of you being a part of it. We will include a few phone calls. We have a lot of guests. Some of them may have difficulty actually getting out to where we are right now because you may need Noah's Ark. Tim Tebow is our first guest, so that might not be a bad idea in and of itself, but we appreciate you being here. A lot of guests. We'll talk to, of course, Sam Pittman a little bit later on. We'll get reaction to the literally breaking news as we come on the air about the CFP. And that is what it's interesting. There are some conflicting reports now about when it will begin. Some indicate it could be 3 years, 4 years from now. There are others who are not positive. This news is literally just breaking, so it's a little bit difficult. So this is the expectation that it will start in 2026. There could still be some tweaking, but when we left the air yesterday, it just did not seem likely that if they expanded, a group that often can't shoot straight and walk at the same time would be able to make it happen anytime sooner. So we have a playoff. We just don't have it anytime soon. And I think that's really the disappointment here. It's great that there will be a 12-team model, but why it's taking that long, we're not sure. And by the way, I know Thamel said that, but there are some other people reporting at this hour that it could start earlier. We'll hold our fire on that until we get more information. So that is incredibly important news, though, and I think the date is perhaps the most important. How did we get to this point is really very interesting. Mark Keenum, who is the president at Mississippi State, he's also the head of the management council, really pushed the presidents to go back to work, to continue to work on this after the five Power Five commissioners, not all, I might add, but were unable to make a deal primarily because of the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. You remember it was a little bit more than a year ago that it appeared that we were ready to begin this as early as 2023, and then the Big Ten got in the middle of it. If you remember, they formed an alliance with the ACC and the Pac-12. Now we all have a pretty good idea of what was behind that alliance. It was obviously the Big Ten trying to open the door for future negotiations with its media partners. But none of that really matters right now. What matters is the fact that it has been approved according to media reports, and exactly when it will begin is open for conversation right now, and we will hopefully have more in just a few minutes. Not exactly the gorgeous Northwest Arkansas weather we were counting on, but nevertheless, we are delighted to be here on the road welcoming you to another year of college football. Let's talk a little bit about what we will be doing here during a wet afternoon. Holly Rowe will join us live from Ohio, where she'll be on the sideline tomorrow night for Notre Dame and Ohio State. Sean McDonough will be on the call for that as well. Orlowski is down in the swamp. Deuce McAllister will join us. He's covering this Sam Houston Texas A&M game. That's just the first hour of the show. I mentioned we will talk to the head hog. Of course, Sam Pittman will join us in about 2 hours as well. Let's get to some phone calls here and start with Pat in Georgia. Pat, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. Looks like you got a frog strangler there.
Yeah, I think we got more than that. But I just want to say, before we even get going, we got a few pretty brave people, and you have no idea that about 10 minutes ago it was coming down so hard you couldn't see. They are literally standing in mud, but I will give them credit for being brave and courageous on a rather wet Razorback afternoon. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I'll give them a big dog suey pig, but I think the decision that was made today, unanimous, that has lit the fuse, and I think the dominoes are going to fall. And now everybody knows what the playoffs are going to look like. And even if it's not till 26, personally, I think the fuse being lit is going to get it done quicker. The expansions for the Big Ten and the SEC, they'll come about. It's just one domino after another. And we'll go to the ninth game sooner than we would have. And that's just what I think. And it's the certainty of what the playoffs look like that lets everybody else, even ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC, they know the end of the roadmap.
Well,
what do you think?
First of all, this is not a huge surprise. We were going to get to a playoff, and I think it became even more paramount, Pat, when you started seeing the dominoes fall with the Big Ten deal with the three different networks. You have a couple of conferences right now who are hurting, and they had to have this. If you're the ACC, if you didn't go to a playoff soon, you were going to start losing some of your members. So the thing that I don't know, and we won't know yet, is really when this will begin. It starts no later than 26. What they've essentially done is send it back to the commissioners now. And my fear is that we get back into the bureaucracy of really a small. The CFP is not a big corporation. They're not that well oiled to move quickly. So we've wasted a lot of time here, and I don't think you can say it won't start in 24 where it should, because you have so many complications. With ESPN being the exclusive rights holder right now, at least until 25, and then, you know, how do you get in there? These things are not that difficult, but based on what I saw from the commissioners a year ago, they make it difficult. And because they essentially they deal in bureaucracies, Pat, something that you are well familiar with.
Well, Paul, they have the word from the advisory council. Speed it up, boys. Let's get this thing going.
Well,
right?
I don't think that's going to make any difference, frankly. I think this could not come at a worse time in the sense that the football season is now here and there are a lot of moving parts. The summer was the time to start implementing, and I sincerely doubt anybody has done anything other than sit on their hands. Anyway, we'll move on. We have college football to talk about. The playoff talk will linger. We are about to head to the biggest game in the country in just a moment in Columbus, and we're live in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to Northwest Arkansas on a stormy early September day. But tomorrow, when the weather really is important, looks like good weather for Arkansas hosting the Cincinnati Bearcats. Speaking of big games, the biggest game in the country is in Columbus. Notre Dame taking on Ohio State. And Holly Rowe will be on the sideline covering that game for ABC, and she joins us now. Holly, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. We had a great chance to catch up the other day, and I'm particularly curious what your week's been like getting ready for this epic showdown. Good afternoon.
Unique angle, but more importantly, both fan bases are out of control excited for this. So I was able to go up to South Bend, go to practice on Tuesday, sit down with many of the players, spent 40 minutes with Marcus Freeman in his office, really getting to know this young coach who's just so impressive. And then I've been to Ohio State twice now. I came here 2 weeks ago. I came here to practice yesterday. And believe the hype. The hype is real. Ohio State has a lot of really significant pieces. They've got the talent and they've got the depth.
Holly, let's talk a little bit about Marcus Freeman because he has been probably the most talked about coach in the offseason and what he had to overcome in terms of being a Ohio State former player. He's now at Notre Dame taking on Ohio State. What did you learn being with him and being able to observe his interaction with his team?
Well, number one, his team loves him. So many of the players said, we want to play hard. We want to play well for Coach Freeman. They feel like he has brought some personal touch to this program in that they don't just feel like they're members of a roster. They feel like he sees them and knows them and cares about them. So a little bit more of a personal touch that is resonating with this football program. But the other cool thing, digging into his background and his resume, he was just playing here at Ohio State in 2008. I mean, this is super recent. He is a young guy, and every stop that he has been at, he was so impressive at that stop, it parlayed into another job. So, for example, he was a graduate assistant here, and he was so good in that role that Darryl Hazel took him when he left to go be the head coach at Kent State. And then that parlayed into going to Purdue, and then that parlayed into going with Luke Fickle. I asked him, why has he been good everywhere he's gone? And he said, I put my head down and work really hard and try to build relationships with people, and it just continues to pay off for me. And I love that. It's not like he's trying to get the next gig. He's just doing a really good job at the gig he has, and then he's rewarded.
Holly, so much of the narrative going into this game has been the point spread, which is really somewhat hilarious when you think about how college football doesn't acknowledge things like that. But Marcus Freeman has been asked about it. He's talked about it. His players have said they are disrespected. What do you sense from him and them?
So, the way that whole thing came about, he was asked about it at his press conference on Tuesday. And that afternoon, he brought it up in the team meeting to his players. And when I asked him, why use something negative to be a motivational tactic for your team? And he said, you don't understand. We've been in fall camp and practicing really hard, since early August. It is a grind every day to get guys fired up and juiced up for practice. And I wanted to get them fired up that day for practice. So that's not a motivational thing he's using for the game. It was an awesome motivational tool for Tuesday practice. And then he'll find something else for Wednesday practice and just trying to keep young people engaged and alert and trying to work hard every single day.
Holly, finally, the Ohio State side. They've been here before. They played for the title. They've been in the playoffs. And last year they had, by their standards, a pretty bad season. By most, it would be probably time for an extension and a contract raise. What do you sense learning from, what do you learn from Ryan Day and his team, which many believe is just maybe a hair below Alabama in terms of being the most talented team in the country?
Well, we just literally walked out of our meeting with Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, and Kirk Herbstreit kept saying to him, like, man, but you guys were 11-2, and why does it sound like everything was so bad and such a failure? And Ryan Day looked him square in the face and says, because it was. Our three goals are to beat the team up north, win the Big Ten, and win the national championship, and we didn't do any of the three, and so that is a complete failure. He said, there's four or five places in the country where if you don't win a national championship, your season meant nothing. And so it's really important that, that he is able to pinpoint that and realize we didn't do our job. We had a failure last season, and we're going to turn it around.
Holly, thank you so very much. We'll be watching tomorrow night. Holly Rowe joining us from Columbus, and we switch around to another one of Saturday's biggest games, and that, of course, is Oregon in Georgia, in Atlanta. A year ago, we sat with this next guest in the College Football Hall of Fame. We're now joined by Sean McDonough, who will be on the call. Sean, I miss not seeing you. We had such a great time. Not about anything that we would be broadcasting, but talking about your father and so many great memories, but it's always good to see you.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Paul. Sorry it's not in person today, but hopefully our paths will cross on the college football trail very soon.
I just have a wild feeling they will, Sean, and with some of the games that you'll be doing. Listen, let's get right to it. This is an intriguing game. Oregon, the narrative is pretty obvious. A new coach, a familiar quarterback for Georgia, but not because he played at Oregon, because he played at Auburn and, of course, the Dogs, the reigning champs. I've pretty much covered it. So what are you learning being in Atlanta, being around these two programs, and getting ready for tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I think you touched on the biggest storylines. You know, obviously, Dan Lanning in his first game at Oregon, coming off being the defensive coordinator very successfully. So, at Georgia last year, that's a great story. Bo Nix starting a quarterback for Oregon. We do believe he will start, although that's still to be determined, but most of the scuttlebutt points in that direction. He didn't fare very well when he was at Auburn against Georgia, but there are a lot of quarterbacks who played against the Bulldogs who can say that. And then obviously, you know, how will Georgia be, especially on defense, losing all those players from a year ago? You know, to lose five first-round picks off the defense. You know, Paul, you've seen them play a lot. You know, they've played a lot of players on defense. A lot of these guys who will be playing more and starting, who haven't started in the past, are 4- and 5-star recruits who played a lot of snaps because Kirby has liked to run in a lot of guys on defense, and I'm sure that'll be the case again tomorrow.
Sean, you do so many different things from baseball to golf to other sports. As you have made this pretty dramatic shift into college football, I would like to get your thoughts just on some of the news of the day. And, I mean, I guess we'll believe it when we see it, but it seems like after shutting the playoff just 8 months ago, the college football, the lords of college football have decided we're going to get a playoff after all. Your thoughts on what that could mean and how do you think the sport's going to be different? It's already pretty different now with expansion running amok. The fact that we could have a 12-team playoff here either in 2 or 4 years.
Well, I like the expanded playoff. I've never thought that 4 was enough. You know, this should help eliminate some of the arguments about, well, this team was more deserving than the team that got picked to be number 4 in the CFP. I hope it, you know, opens the door for opportunity for conference champions, for the group of 5 team to make sure they get an opportunity. Because, you know, I was glad Cincinnati got in last year. I thought they deserved it. I know some people thought that they didn't. But, yeah, I think it would be good for the sport if it's expanded. You know, selfishly, we always wonder, what does that mean for ESPN and for ABC? And I don't know how that's going to play out yet. But I think it'd be good for the sport, and that means it's really good for all of us.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that because you do so many games in the Big Ten, so many really critically important games, and now all these things are happening. And it's so weird. You know, we both work for the same company, but the idea that ESPN/ABC won't be doing Big Ten or some of those games will take some getting used to, won't it?
Yeah, it really will. Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I understand. You know, these are businesses, and as our boss said to us not too long ago, we still will have the best inventory in sports television to college football. It have a tremendous number of meaningful games over the entirety of these seasons. But, yeah, I'll miss going to some of these Big Ten places. And, you know, it was nice to week to week have the option to know that if the biggest game in the country that week was in the Big Ten, that's where we were going to be more often than not. So it's a disappointment, but life goes on. I certainly understand it from ESPN's business standpoint. I think they made the right decision from a business standpoint, and it is a business, as we said. So good luck to the Big Ten and to their TV partners as they go forward, but hopefully we'll have a lot of terrific Big Ten games this year.
Sean, thank you. We will see you soon, I'm sure. It's always great to catch up with you. Sean McDonough in Atlanta getting us ready for tomorrow. Of course, we talked about arguably the two biggest games of the day. Might get some arguments from people behind me here. We'll go to another one of those critically important games in the Swamp with Dan Orlowski joining us in a few minutes. And then we are going to spend the entire afternoon here. We'll talk to Sam Pittman a little bit later on, live here in the rain in Arkansas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're live in Fayetteville, and the first real college football weekend of the season. Arkansas taking on Cincinnati tomorrow afternoon at about this time. With another big game tomorrow night on ESPN is in the Swamp. Utah, one of the favorites in the Pac-12, and one of the favorites to get to the college football playoff. We'll be heading down to Florida to welcome Billy Napier to college football and Dan Orlowski joining us from down there. Dan, thank you for the time. Pretty interesting matchup between Utah and Florida. Billy Napier's first game. Good afternoon. What have you learned being on the scene?
Yeah, good to be with you, bud. I'd start with this. I think the interesting thing with Billy Napier in Florida right now is, you know, how much he's trying to reestablish the pride of doing everything the right way around this campus and in this program. Every little detail is a big deal to him. How much their new $85 million practice facility is going to impact not only just their recruiting, but also the ability for them to provide like the greatest, or at least in their opinion, the greatest experience for all the athletes that come play football at Florida. And, you know, the interesting thing game-wise is Utah is going to bring a very old-school SEC type of brand or football here tomorrow night. It is going to be, we're going to put a bunch of big bodies on the field and a bunch of big tight ends, and it's going to be smash-mouth football. And, you know, the SEC in many ways has gone a little bit more spread, and Utah is going to say we're bigger and better and tougher and try to come bully ball Florida. And I'll be really interesting to see if Florida can somewhat physically stand up early on.
And Dan, of course, everybody's talking about Anthony Richardson. I know you've seen him play. You've done games in the SEC for a couple of years. Describe what you see when you see him take over a team during a game.
Yeah, number one, he's the most talented quarterback Florida's had since Tim Tebow physically. He's that special of a player. I absolutely think he's the most intriguing prospect at that position in all of college football this year because he's exactly what we see dominating NFL quarterback play on Sundays now. Big, fast, powerful, strong, fearless, great thrower of the football, incredibly bright, can beat you with his arm, his mind, and his legs. You know, when I called some of the games last year, I would watch him get on the field and just the electricity that would come out of his play, both as a runner and a thrower. And I would sit there and I've got tremendous amount of respect and admiration for Dan Mullen. I'd be like, why is Anthony Richardson not the starting quarterback for this football team? And when you ask Florida and Billy Napier about Anthony Richardson, the thing that they love about him right now is how much he's really taken to playing quarterback and how smart he's become about handling protections and changing the runs and, okay, this is how I have to study film and this is how I prep for a defense and I can't just know what I'm supposed to do on this play. What's my right tackle doing and what's the defense kind of in contrast to what this play is going to be? So we're talking about a young man that has everything physically talent-wise that you need. And now he's really starting to embrace difficult coaching and being challenged in that way and the mental aspect of it. And it may not pop tomorrow night versus a top seven team, but I think we're going to watch this man take off as this season gets going.
And in relation to tomorrow night, Dan, because, I mean, the narrative is out there. It's hard to win in the Swamp, although it really hasn't been as difficult in recent years. But when you see Utah coming in with the kind of football you've described versus a somewhat unknown product in the Gators, what are the essential keys to victory for both sides tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'd say, so talking Florida and how do they win, you know, there is the reality that Utah does not know who or what Florida is with Billy Napier and his coordinator's scheme with their players. They can watch Louisiana tape all they want, and they could watch Florida tape and see what kind of players they have, but they haven't seen those guys operate in this system, these formation, these personnel groupings, you know, at this tempo. So how much Florida can keep Utah maybe guessing or on its heels when it comes to who they are going to be given what they're presenting on the field. Can they stay ahead of Utah in that regard? That's a big thing. Number two, you know, Florida's got 6'4", 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", at their receiver position. So naturally the point is, well, how many big plays can they go make down the field because of their height? Sure, that's part of it. But also, can those guys dominate in the run game on the perimeter, blocking? Because that's a big part of Billy Napier's offense, too, is those receivers got to be willing and able to block out on the perimeter and get the ball, you know, maybe in some of their RPO game. So can they dominate a little bit of that matchup? They physically, on defense, have to match Utah's run game. Have to. And then I would say make Utah's receivers beat you. Utah's probably got the best duo of tight ends in college football with Keithy and Kincaid. And if you don't slow those cats down, they have no shot defensively. So make a little bit of the unproven receivers for Utah make some plays down the field and beat you. That's the best way for Florida to pull off what would be a pretty big upset, even though the line's only like 2.5 or 3 points. I think Utah's got to be who they are. Utah's got to, you know, line up and challenge Florida, you know, commit to the play-action game, get Cam Rising out of the pocket. Cam can't try to do too much. And then for, you know, when Anthony runs the football, Utah's got to be willing to take some shots at him legally. They got to hit him. You know, if he's going to be a big athlete and run with the football, they got to make him kind of second guess how many shots he wants to take in this game.
Talking to Dan, Dan, I'd like to ask you about a couple other SEC quarterbacks because your analysis of quarterbacks is just so intriguing. Let me start with the quarterback in the afternoon game tomorrow, Stetson Bennett. We all know what he's done. He's still coming under fire. Many still wonder, you know, is a fourth quarter national championship winning performance enough? What do you see when you've seen Stetson Bennett? Because I know you've seen and done a lot of his games.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like a lateral conversation about Mac Jones years ago. 2 years ago, I did the Alabama games, and I remember, I think it was Alabama-Arkansas, and we were having the conversation of Mac Jones, he's not going to be a first-round pick because he doesn't look like what the quarterback does at the NFL level right now, which is that physical, dominant athlete. And then you studied his tape, and you're like, this guy's a top-five pick. And I was the person screaming, he's the third pick of the draft. And obviously, he went on to have a really good rookie year in the NFL for New England. I'm not saying Stetson Bennett is Mac Jones, but his style in his play is very similar. You know, he's the guy that wants to be one of 11. He's not a superstar athlete. He's very, let me get the ball out of my hands and let the other guys kind of earn their scholarship. He wants to play point guard in that regard. And we, as football fans, don't like that anymore. We want to see the LeBron James of quarterback, the Russell Westbrook of quarterback, these freakazoid athletes that can do basically anything they want. Stetson is more of a, athletically, I can get you out of trouble quarterback than you can build an offense or call an offense around my athleticism. Really smart, is not going to hurt you, but he's not going to be the quarterback that can sit there and when you fall down 14-0, your left tackle and number one receiver are out. He can sit there and go, don't worry, coach. Call the plays. I'm going to make it work. I'm the best player on the field.
Finally, I want to ask you about the most obvious quarterback in the SEC, Bryce Young. He's back for another season. The expectations through the roof. I mean, even though Will Anderson is probably getting maybe a little more conversation right now, but what do you expect and what are you looking for from Bryce Young for what most believe will be the final year?
Yeah, what kind of quarterback he is without some of those receivers he had on the perimeter, mainly Metchie and Jameson Williams. You know, those are really big playmakers. And I'm a huge fan of Bryce. I got the chance to spend some time with him this offseason at the Super Bowl very quickly. And, you know, tremendous character and young man. I've said his game reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. You know, the way that he throws the ball with different body positions and arm angles and feet off the ground and, you know, the snap release and it doesn't take a lot of time for his decision and ball to come out of his hands. So, tremendous player. I think he's, a lock top five pick in the NFL draft next year. But I am interested to see kind of what type of performance he's able to have with those two playmakers no longer there.
Dan, thank you. It's always good to see you. Dan Orlowski joining us from Gainesville, where he'll be on the call tomorrow night for that huge game between Utah and the University of Florida.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a busy second hour it's going to be. Roman and Jordan will be with us at the top. And what about Sam Pittman at 3:15 local time here? Rod Gilmore on the call tomorrow. And Stinch doing Troy and Ole Miss. Everybody's pretty excited about the coach dropping by. Let's head to College Station. Deuce McAllister, second year out covering college football for ESPN. And Deuce on the call tomorrow for the A&M game. Deuce, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon. And how's everything in College Station?
Well, it's excitement. You can definitely feel the excitement as they continue to build. And, you know, you talk about I don't know if this will be the most talented team that Coach Fisher has had when you talk about experience. But I'm going to tell you, they have some guys on that football team. And, you know, you look at it from the offensive and defensive side of the football. There is some talent there. Now, you know, the question will be how fast will those young players be able to contribute and really show what they have?
Well, Deuce, let's talk about that, because especially, we hear so much about the recruiting class, and you know, we'll find out more tomorrow night. But you're on campus there. You're hearing more than we are. What are we going to see that we haven't seen in the past from all this talent?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing that they want to do is make sure that they can just go out and play fast. I think when you talk about from a defensive standpoint, having Coach Durkin step in as that new DC for him, he wants to give those young men the opportunity to go and play. And so, you know, you don't want to necessarily confuse them with a lot of different calls and making sure that you have to check here. Hey, look, let's line up. Let's go play. I mean, because from a talent standpoint, they have a ton of that. And so, you know, whether you're talking about on the back end as far as their safeties are concerned, they have probably a little bit more experience there, but they are deep on that defensive line. I think that's where they're going to have to, you know, just show that they're special just because you do have five stars, you know, pretty much across the board.
Deuce, we hear so much about Jimbo Fisher and his offensive prowess. Can you tell us what and how you assess Haynes King? I realize we didn't see a lot of him last year. He got hurt, and it really affected the Aggies. But from what you've been able to see so far and what you're hearing from coaches, what should we expect not only tomorrow night but all season long?
Well, I think you have a mature player. You talk about him having here's where it's unique when you talk about a quarterback or a player in today's college football world. After this season, he will still have 4 years. So, I mean, 4 years as far as college football is concerned, because he was a backup and played with Kellen Mond when he was here as the quarterback. And you talk about having the COVID year and then getting hurt after playing last year, just a couple of quarters, basically. So you get that year back. Haynes King graduates from college in December. But basically, you know, you're talking about as he goes through, he has 4 years of eligibility left as far as to play college football. So you have a maturity, you have a comfort level with him at quarterback. And then I think a lot of times, you know, you ask a quarterback, hey, look, you know, is your guy more of a system guy that maybe doesn't have the ability to be able to get out on the edge and threaten teams, or is he going to be able to sit in the pocket and just thread the needle? I think he has the ability to be able to do both, and I think he's excited to be able to go out and show that, not just, you know, tomorrow morning, but throughout the year as well.
Deuce, as you prepared for this season, your second go-around, particularly curious your thoughts on the SEC, and, I mean, I think we know who – the favorites are, but who are you keying on? Who are you looking maybe to make some noise that the media hasn't spent enough time on?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know the favorites, and those guys will probably be there in the end, barring injury. But, you know, you're intrigued. Does Coach Mike Leach get it turned around there at Mississippi State? I mean, because he's got a quarterback, in my opinion, that can play on Sundays. I mean, I think that he's got that. And Mississippi State has always, you know, usually had a really, really good defense. It's always been offensively. Can they put it together? That'll be one of the questions that you kind of watch. The other one is one of your guests that's coming back later on, Coach Sam Pittman and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Can they, you know, put up and do some of the things that they kind of showed what they were able to do last year? You know, because I think that they have a really, really nice and a special program that they're building. And, you know, Ken Vanderbilt, who we saw put up, what, plus 60? Against Hawaii just a week or so ago, you know, can they continue on the upward trend? So, and then you look at Billy Napier down in Florida. I know what he was able to do over at University of Lafayette. Can that translate into, you know, with the talent that they've had down in Gainesville? I'm interested to see how that goes. And, you know, obviously Brian Kelly being at LSU and also Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, can they continue to try to say, hey, look, Ole Miss, you win 10 games in the regular season. Can you do it again? You lost your quarterback to the NFL, Brian Kelly at LSU, a tremendous amount of talent down there. What will happen with the Bayou Bengals? So a lot of intrigue across the league.
Deuce McAllister, thank you very much. On the call tomorrow night in College Station. So the headline of the hour, in addition to the college football season being upon us, is that the CFP Management Committee did unanimously approve to institute a 12-team playoff. This was a push by the president at Mississippi State, Dr. Mark Keenum, who's the head of that council. He really pushed hard for his colleagues to bring this back to the board after the commissioners completely bungled it earlier in the year. Now the question, when will it begin? Will it be 26, which it has to begin by that point? Or could we possibly have a 12-team playoff by 24? More on that as we work our way through hour number one. Sam Pittman will be here in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.